I want this episode to be great. I want this to be the best one I've ever done, I thought as I sat down at my laptop, yellow legal pad full of notes at the ready. I was extremely excited to do this chat with Miles Johnston, an artist I'd been a personal fan of for many years now. When I originally emailed Miles, I didn't expect him to reply so quickly, but before I knew it, we were on a call rambling together about our shared love of video games. The task I set for myself of creating the best episode yet was no small feat. As I sat down, going through my notes, listening to the 2 hours of audio I'd loaded up on my computer, Miles himself, in the recording, gave me the inspiration I needed to start typing away on this blank page. Maybe just putting the effort into trying to make a perfect episode is perfect enough. And there's no way for me to know how this episode's going to come out in the end, regardless of how well I try to meticulously edit and write. In the end, all I can do is do my best, try to make it perfect, and enjoy the end result. Today, we learn how fragile our futures can be and how each little decision can cause a ripple effect for years to come. So join me, your favorite art podcast host, and let me tell you the story of Miles Johnston. I'm your host, Jacob Johnson. This is the My Art is Real podcast, a narrative journey into the lives that shape art. Today's episode, Miles Johnston, right after the break. I thought to myself, what better merch for an art podcast than actual art? If you get inspired at all by the show, you can show your support by collecting one of the many limited edition art prints that's now available on myartisrael.com. When you purchase a print, you're not only supporting me, but also supporting the artist and getting a limited edition numbered print, high quality print made by me in the process. So head on over to myartisrael.com. At the end of October 2024, Miles will be launching a Kickstarter for his upcoming art book, which will cover 10 years of his professional art career and feature over 250 pages. I know I'll be getting one for myself, so if you are at all interested, make sure you are signed up for his emailing list, which you can do so on milesjohnstonart.com. Patreon is a great way to support the show and get extra content. I'm working tirelessly to make this show, and I'm also working to make some extra content on there as well to inspire people even further. You can sign up to Patreon for only $3 a month on patreon.com/myartisreal. Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to the episode.
My name is Miles Johnston. I am originally from the UK and I'm an artist.
While Miles is now based in Stockholm, he grew up in a small town in the UK.
So I'm from a town called Fleet in Hampshire. It's a completely nice town, totally fun to grow up in, but it sort of feels like there's not much going on there culture-wise. It's just a kind of almost like a satellite town of London. When I was super young, my dad took a job in Borneo for a bit. So I was there from like 3 to 7, which obviously like in the grand scheme of my life isn't a long time. But for all of my childhood, it felt like when I moved back, it felt like half my childhood. And it was really all the years where you start forming memories. So when I started school, I sort of like really didn't remember my life before we'd been living out there. And I do feel like it sort of meant I never fully, like, obviously I am English. I'm like from there. I grew up there, but I always sort of didn't quite feel like I embraced that side of my identity in the same way.
And when Miles was a kid, he was into almost everything.
Oh man. Well, I liked all kinds of things. I mean, I always liked to draw. I kind of liked school. I found like an old worksheet from when I was 6 years old the other day, like one of these things we did in school where you fill in like my name is, you put your name, my favorite subject. And I was like thinking it was going to be like art, but I wrote my favorite subject was maths and I couldn't even remember that was true. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I liked a lot of things. I liked being outside. I mean, I feel like I did what a lot of people do and I just kind of hopped around between different hobbies and I played guitar and piano, but I wasn't very good at them.
And like many others his age, he had fell in love with video games.
I liked making anything. I played a ton of video games and sort of got a little bit into like, I remember getting obsessed with Half-Life 2 when it came out and got into trying to make custom maps and learning a little bit like how to use a computer a bit better from trying to like mod games and stuff. Yeah, like Warhammer and reading, but I'll always like reading books and movies and shit. So a lot of just consuming stuff.
Of course, he didn't let it consume him. He wasn't stuck inside on the computer constantly. He had a nice balance.
I feel like I had this fun sweet spot with where I really had a childhood that was almost like 50-50 on devices and outside, you know, like it sort of definitely had a bit of both worlds. Sometimes my parents would just come in and see me and my brother playing Xbox again and just say, like, you got to go out. It's like Saturday. Don't come back till dinner kind of thing. And we would do it and just kind of disappear somewhere. And that seems kind of fun in hindsight.
Miles would then discover a very new hobby, one that would become pretty much an obsession.
So I got kind of like into drawing in a really serious way when I was like 13. And from that age onwards, it was probably diminishing the amount I was playing. It probably saved me from becoming like a WoW addict or something, which a lot of my friends were getting into.
But what's so interesting is it was actually video games that sparked his interest in drawing to begin with.
I got into drawing through an art forum that was for concept artists. I actually discovered it because I liked video games. I was playing Unreal Tournament a bunch on the computer. And I was like, yeah, these dudes have really sweet armor. Like, and I would, you know, I was like the kind of kid who, like, before I really knew how to learn to draw properly, I would just copy a lot of stuff I liked. You know, I remember like drawing Neo from my Matrix DVD box and like buying Xbox magazines and just like copying stuff out of them. And I stumbled across the artist, I think his name is Justin Hawkins, something like that. But he went by the screen name Hawk Prey, and he did all the Unreal Tournament stuff. So I Googled his name, I found his website, and it had all the tabs on the side. And one of the tabs was concept art. And I was like, okay, what's that? Like, clicked on that, and it was all the sweet dudes in armor that I wanted to see.
Once he knew the name for the kind of art he was into, it quickly went to Google to find more.
So I just Googled concept art, and that came across a forum called conceptart.org, which was like the golden age of forums on the internet. Well, they would say it was already past the golden age, but I think it caught the tail end of it, like mid-2000s. And this forum was just like filled with people who were like, you could make what was called a sketchbook thread where you would just post all the art you were doing in one forum thread, and people would come in and sort of like offer you, like show you like downloads of old out of print art books that you could use to learn to draw. Like they would critique the anatomy. It was like a community entirely geared around getting better. So I stumbled into it through the love of video games.
As we now know, in the current year, 2024, Miles is in fact a working artist. But when he thinks back to that time of his life, it all seems so fragile and random.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that the other day, just like, if I hadn't found that at the time, it's just so, your own like life trajectory seems so fragile in hindsight. Like, it's just like, you know, maybe I would have just found out about it sooner or later, but it really was finding this forum and seeing people who were like in a couple of years completely transforming how good they were at painting and like getting the message, oh, okay, painting something, drawing is something you can get better at. You know, you're not just born at a certain skill level. And I just think, like, if I hadn't Googled that one afternoon, it's not that hard to imagine that I just never end up being an artist. You know, like, I always liked drawing, but it takes a lot more than just liking it to actually end up doing it professionally. And it's definitely my involvement with that forum that sort of, like, sent me down that path.
As a kid, often it seems like other children are, say, just naturally gifted in sports or different aspects of life, different hobbies. But there's a lot of improvement that always needs to be made, and no matter how much gift you're born with, you're gonna have to practice to get better. Something I'm doing with this podcast is every episode I'm trying to make it better than the one before it in some way or another. Miles learned quite quickly that you could learn things and get better at things even if you weren't naturally gifted at them. Push yourself to try to get better. So naturally, he applied this to art and was constantly trying to become better at drawing. And for you, what kind of stuff were you drawing back then? Was it cartoons, like, you know, characters from video games? What were you drawing a lot? Do you remember?
Yeah, it wasn't so much anime. It was more like dudes with guns in power armor. Yeah, like Warhammer. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, my mom, when I ask her about my childhood drawings, she remembers when I was younger. And it's like parrots and fish and coral reef. Like, we would draw like nice nature things and cars and stuff. And then like, then I turn 10 and it's just all like, yeah, Warhammer inspired, like holding a severed head and like a automatic chainsaw and stuff. But like definitely not like anything. Like I didn't think I was going to end up doing the kind of work that I do at all when I started out. Like my goals starting out were completely different. I just like drawing. Yeah, I always felt like I was like, I had a slight, you know, knack for it. I was like the drawing kid in my class. I just thought it was kind of fun to do, you know?
Doing anything just for the fun of it is really special. Little projects here and there become so satisfying and rewarding to finish, even if it's the smallest project. Besides being just a fun thing to do, Miles discovered that art played a much deeper role in his state of mind.
I was writing about this actually for the introductory chapter in my art book. And I think as a teenager, I often was like prone to just going through these pretty heavy periods with my mental health of like depression or anxiety, or even like slight feelings of just dread for the future. And I feel like when I got into doing something and improving and learning, the way I put it is it gave me a relationship with the future that wasn't just being terrified of uncertainty. I would just look ahead and be like, I'm going to get older. I'm going to need to get a job. Like my parents are going to age. People are going to die. Like just all of this stuff. And then suddenly I've discovered this way of relating to my future self where it's like, if I work on this thing, like I get better and I can do more and more stuff and that feels good. And maybe this represents a chance to get a job outside of all the kind of, you know, you look at the adult world creeping up on you and you're like, I don't know if I like any of that. And I think it just represented to me this like escape and this new way of like, yeah, like it was just like hopeful. You know, I feel like the feeling of learning something you're passionate about is almost like the opposite feeling of dread and anxiety about the future to me. I think there's a little bit of something, there's a carrot and a stick, you know, things you're running away from and things you're running towards.
In most aspects of life, we don't see the greater improvements or change until many years in the future. But with the drawing and posting it on the forum, Miles was able to visually see his growth, and it gave him hope. It was a part of the future he could control. And the others on the forum only pushed him further down this path.
I was just improving quick enough that it seemed like I had a lot of people saying like, oh, well, if you're doing this at 14, like if you keep this up, like you're gonna be really ready, you know, by the time you finish school. And that just seemed like a chance to get ahead at something, you know?
And when you would share your works on the forum and people would give you feedback, how did it make you feel at the time?
I think it just felt good because I really was putting in a lot of work. Like it started as like one of the, you know, like kids will sometimes do like a weirdly intense project. Like you got no bills. If you're lucky, you got like, there's not a lot of stuff going on. So if you just decide you're going to like draw every day for the next month, like if I want to like do some challenge like that now, I have to like plan it with my partner, like make sure I'm dropping my kids off at school. Like how am I going to pay the bills? Blah, blah, blah. Like you do have less like spontaneous freedom. So I think I just kind of, I dived in and I was putting a lot of time in. And if people are complimenting something that you're really honestly working hard on, I felt like it was just nice. And I do sometimes wonder though, like how much what you're drawn to doing in the world, like it's a mixture of loving doing the thing and also just like needing that validation as a sort of, you know, is a very vulnerable stage in your life, being a teenager, and you're trying to sort of, you're aware that you're not going to be a kid that much longer. And if there's this thing and suddenly a lot of people are like praising you for it, it can be hard to tell, do I love doing this or does it just feel good that people are being nice to me for doing it? So it's probably like a bit of both.
With you being so hyper-focused on drawing, what was your parents' reaction? Were they supportive of you?
I think the deal was always as long as I wasn't blunking out of school and it was clear that I was like still leaving that door open until I finished like high school, then I think they were very, like I'm a parent now and I feel like of course you're going to like, you worry about their future and stuff, but like I feel like I would, at that age, it must have been kind of interesting that I got so into it. You know, I was just like reading weird old art books and drawing all the time. And so I think they were always really supportive and And then they didn't argue with me when it came time to leave high school. And I said I wanted to go study art instead of something else. I sort of did my end of the bargain and made sure I left the door open to go to university for something else. Yeah.
While being so heavily into the art form, this allowed Miles to see and even speak to artists who are actively making a career out of their work. Most of the time, people don't see anyone doing the job they wish they had, and it all seems so far out of reach. Because of being so close to the world of concept art, Miles knew he had a shot in making something out of it, something that could keep a roof over his head and food in his belly. So tell me exactly, what was the plan? What was the plan for your future?
Yes, it's a good question. I mean, the plan was just like, get good and like it somehow it will work. But I mean, more realistic, I suppose the example that I would bring up to like try to show my parents that there was some semblance of thinking about a future was, so a lot of the guys on conceptart.org, some of the founding members were all in a studio together. And they were sort of collective outsourcing studio that would take on contracts from video game companies, and they would, you know, paint tons of concept art, and they were all in San Francisco. They shared this like studio and the artwork was so cool. And to me, it was just like, how do I join? Like, I want to be in on that. I want to be every day surrounded by other people who feel as passionately about this. Like, so I wasn't thinking so much about, at least that seemed like a job. Like, it still wasn't in my head that I was going to just be an artist, because I didn't really see how that was like realistic or what even the next step would be, you know? So instead, I was like, okay, what do I need to do to become a concept artist? And the general idea was you need to be sort of good at drawing almost anything from imagination, or being able to like create it with reference, just knowing how to generate imaginative imagery, not just copying photographs or direct references, but being able to generate new imagery. So that involved having really solid art fundamentals, knowing your anatomy, knowing all of this. This is what like the forum is about. And interestingly, like all of those skills, I think I still draw on every day in how I make work.
He knew that he wanted to improve. He that's something he'd always cared about. He wanted to do it at a school, but he had no idea where to start. There are countless art schools, and each one of them has a very different type of program and philosophy when it comes to drawing and making art. So he's pretty divided on where he was going to go.
I wasn't sure what I was going to do next. I didn't want to go to university in England, study at like one of the major art colleges, because like I felt like I really wanted to continue to improve my drawing fundamentals. Like I didn't feel like I was anywhere near good enough at just drawing and painting on a fundamental level. And most of the university education in England around art was kind of already about sort of higher level conceptual fine art stuff. Like you would look up a program that said it was like a bachelor's in drawing, and then half the coursework on the website was like sculptures made of string and sticks. And I was like, and like the word of drawing was so broad. And I'm not a giant hater of modern art. I love a lot of modern art, but it was just completely different goals to what I had in mind.
So naturally, he turned to the forum and asked around and discovered a type of school called an atelier.
I didn't know what an atelier was. And then I stumbled across a friend on the forum who went to the atelier in Sweden, where they're drawing like from live models every day, from plaster casts. And I found out that a bunch of the guys who went there had gone on to become concept artists, and they found that skill, like it just seemed like the path forwards to me. It kind of delayed needing to get a job. It represented like getting to really level up my drawing skills. But I kind of pitched it to my parents, because obviously like the big downside is a lot of these ones aren't covered by like government loans. So I really had to just basically be like, would you guys front me for a year? And I mean, like compared to studying at like a US college, if you didn't have loans, it's like a totally different, like it's way cheaper. Like a lot of ateliers are like basically like 10,000 euros-ish for a year. Don't know if it's like gone up a bit, but you know, if you look at like studying at like Ringling or something, it can be like hundreds of thousands of dollars for 3 years, if I remember. So it wasn't like, it wasn't impossible, and they could see that I'd been doing it for the longest time. And I think they were supportive of me doing it. So it was another one of those, like, I didn't then go and search for other ateliers and figure out, like, you know, try to figure out which one is like the best one in Europe or which city I wanted to live in or anything like that. It was just like, nope, my friend on the forum, he does cool work. He goes to this one, I'll apply. And then I got in and it just kind of, you know what I mean? Like I look back and I'm like, did I not even think to see if there were other schools? Or I think I just didn't even like to think about it. You know, it's like, and also just my friend's work was so cool. I was like, look, if he can do that there, then that's where I want to be.
The forum and the examples set forth by other members left Miles feeling things were not impossible and he could make it in the art world. While his parents did help him with school, he still needed to pay for everything else like food, and that's where he started doing freelance work.
I couldn't just ask my parents for infinite money, so I covered my living costs doing freelance work. Yeah, the forum felt like a lot of possibility. You would see people all the time that you've been following for years just randomly get hired by Blizzard or something. Like, it was like, it didn't feel impossible to get a job like that. And and the people who got hired tend to be the ones who, you know, it was pretty self-evident they had the skills. I think what drew me to that whole world was that it seemed understandable. Yeah, and it seemed like you would be rewarded if you had, like, if you could develop the skill set that was work, which was appealing rather than like trying to navigate, I don't know, the gallery world or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they were just the beginning. Now there's so many concept art geared university courses, and I don't know for sure, but if there were any, I didn't know about them. And I think I saw that a lot of professional artists didn't go to, there was a surprising amount that either didn't study at a university or their university education had absolutely nothing to do with art. You know, it was like, it seemed clear that a lot of people were self-taught. I think that's what I was really drawn to, was just that it was a thing I could learn on my own that you could be employed for. I just thought that was exciting.
Hearing Miles talk about this time in his life and the energy that was surrounding the art forum, it feels exciting. I know I'm not alone in this feeling, but it seems like the era of thriving art forums and thriving art spaces on social medias like Instagram, it feels like that space, that energy is dying. It's harder and harder to see the people you follow, and it seems like the art we love is being drowned out by all this noise of viral pranks or whatever other garbage they decide to send down our feed. At that time, where everyone was sharing on there and being super supportive, how was that feeling? How did it feel? How was the energy?
It was just so exciting, man. It was so exciting discovering, like, just stuff would happen. You just log in the forum one day and someone that no one had ever heard of had just arrived. You know, as if like they arrived at the inn in town and they'd spread out their portfolio on the table. And you'd just be like, I loved having this little culture that I was involved in that had no intersection with my real life friends and world. Like, it was like this totally this like secret world I could escape into that was filled with like weird drama and inspiration. And like, it was just so exciting. And I still have a lot of love for that whole. I feel like some of the most imaginative and technically skilled and creative artists in the world are in these positions as concept artists. Like, there's just an incredible wealth of skill and knowledge in that profession that often goes under the radar to people outside of that niche. Yeah. And I still think a lot of the stuff that I bring to my own artwork, a lot of the values come from coming out of that community.
He had been completely immersed into the concept art world since he was an early teenager. But as he started to attend the atelier and learning more and more about art itself and painting and drawing, and he was doing less digital works and more physical, the idea of the kind of art that he wanted to make really started to shift.
I had done a lot of digital painting when I was younger, and now I was spending all day working, you know, in a studio with charcoal and paint on big canvases. And I just loved that. I loved not working on the everything machine where you constantly have to resist. Like, you're trying to paint on the machine that also plays video games and like does every other thing in the world. Like, I loved just like being able to separate, like not looking at a screen and the sound and smells. Like, I found everything about being in an atelier studio quite like romantic, just the vibe. And I realized, you know, we would go on these trips to go to like museums and look at classical painting. And I feel in the same way that like the more I learned to paint, the more interesting that stuff became to me. In the same way that I'm sure that like musicians who can play at a high level get way more out of classical music than I do. It was like that stuff was coming to life, and I suddenly realized that like I really was becoming passionate about artwork that was in and of itself the finished product. Like this object here is the art object. And I was being drawn away from concept art. Like, I realized I wasn't, for a long time, I'd never really been very good at it. Like, I'd gotten quite a lot better at, like, representing form and rendering and drawing. But as a concept artist, like, my work was always very derivative and lousy, if you ask me. And just, like, it was just clear my heart wasn't really in the actual designing side. I was, like, more and more loving just, like, the making of the artwork itself. And so it was beginning to sort of like come up in my head while I was painting in art school. Like, I don't think I want to be a concept artist, but that's a little worrying because at least that's like an obvious job.
He soon discovered more types of artists and found his new path.
I remember being really inspired the first time I saw James Jean's work, because he was someone that had been incredibly successful in the illustration world and had... Yeah, was an amazing illustrator. He'd done comic book covers and work with bands and all this kind of stuff. And then he was just kind of pivoting towards the fine art world when I was a student, which he's sort of like fully done now, I suppose. I mean, I guess it's... Well, but there was just that part, that became the new path in my head. Okay, I want to be an illustrator, not a concept artist, because illustration is like finished artwork for stuff. And then when I've done that long enough and I've built up the skills and maybe like created the moment in my life where I can, you know, like pivot to it, I want to somehow pivot to like fine art.
As he finished up school and was working toward his final art dreams, Miles had to figure out, most importantly, what he was going to say with this art. For a long time, he had made work he felt he needed for his portfolio, but now he was going to be making art for no reason other than it was something he wanted to make.
So this process of realizing I didn't want to be a concept artist, it wasn't just that I realized I didn't particularly want to do that work anymore, but I had started to discover something else. Honestly, like I should, like I'm going to have a Kickstarter running fairly soon in October for this book that I'm putting out, which is like the first 10 years of my work. There's like quite a long introductory chapter and we highlight some of the drawings that I'm talking about here. But there were a few moments where I just kind of, I rediscovered drawing for my own satisfaction and to just create something that I thought was interesting. I think like a lot of people trying to get better at art, you sort of start imbibing the values of the people that you're looking up to and the community you want to be a part of and the job you think you need. So I had all these ideas, you know, when I would sit down to make something, it was usually something for my portfolio and it had to be, this is an illustration scene of fantasy stuff that could be in my portfolio for magic, or this is a, you know, a character design or whatever. And I just started drawing for fun again. I started, I would just take a piece of paper and do these like weird stream of consciousness, you know, fountains of flesh and weird floating figures and astral bodies and a lot of it in pencil. This is when I really solidified my love of pencil.
Soon his emotions began to creep into the works. His works became an embodiment in that way of expressing those emotions.
Or I would sometimes just take actual feelings from my life, like things that I really, like I have this draw, I had a couple of these series of these pathetic, like horny goblin creatures that were like, I suppose it's more like not just like horniness, but like attachment. I'd gone through this like breakup in leaving to go to art school, you know, going long, I was never really going to work with the long distance. And I was really like, I mean, as you are as a late teenager and stuff, I was really broken up over it. I just started finding these therapeutic ways to kind of subtly make fun of myself or get these feelings out into drawings by making these, yeah, these goblin creatures obsessively hugging different ladies and stuff. And it's kind of silly in hindsight, but it was one of the first times that I was like putting my real feelings into my work instead of just like trying to view it entirely as a profession. In hindsight, I realized my whole life, I had always had a very intense relationship with art from other people, with media, with comics, with movies, with music. I was always a huge, you know, huge music fan, like exploring different genres. And I wanted that emotional catharsis from my media. I wanted like movies and books and albums that would fuck me up and make me feel something. And I like strongly had these values about experiencing other people's art as a way of processing and communicating with other people my feelings about the world and what it means to be a human being. And then in my own artwork, I was this totally dry, I just got to be a professional, I just got to get really good technique. And it was like suddenly I started to merge these two parts of myself back together. And it was like the idea was clicking for me, like, oh, I could make artwork about stuff I actually give a shit about.
Miles started to unlock the truth behind what he was doing, and he discovered not just any path, but his path. Because he couldn't just follow the path of fellow artists, he had to find his own, figure out what his goal was.
And so I started to like get that signal of like, maybe this whole plan I built for myself that I have to be an illustrator, and then I can, like, maybe it's just kind of all like I'm just procrastinating what I really want to do, which is just make things I like, you know, and then try to figure it out from there.
Of course, during this time of exploration of himself, Miles still had bills to pay. So after a while of freelance work, he found himself in a proper studio job.
But yeah, like after a while of the freelancing, I ended up landing an in-house contract job at like a mobile games company for a bit. And that was the first time I had like a proper salary. And that was very seductive. Like I could have ended up staying there for years. Like I was painting portraits for like online poker games. I don't know if anyone could hunt them down. I don't think they're attached to my name. If you search for Virgin Poker, and see if it, I'll leave it up to users to see if they can guess which of the things. So a bunch of that artwork is mine. And I don't think it wouldn't be very easy to guess because it's very like anti-style for me and everything. But, you know, I did stuff like that. I made a bunch of, I don't know, I just do anything I could. I would like, I was always posting online and there was always like a slight, you know, there was a slight audience at the time. So I was like, okay, I'm trying to like throw together like $5 tutorials, just experimenting with anything to bring in income.
It was after this studio job that Miles would end up landing what I know most artists would consider a dream job, a job that would take him back to Sweden once again.
But yeah, when I got the studio job, after I'd been doing that for a while, I heard that the art school I was at had moved from Stockholm to a small town in the south of Sweden. And I was like, oh, damn, that looks amazing. They bought this old school building. They'd moved to like a small fishing village. And I was living in London and I was like, it's a fun place, but like it would be a lot more fun if you had money. You know what I mean? Like it's like going out and then having to take like buses home at 2 a.m. for 2 hours. Like I was getting like really a bit sick of being there. So I decided, okay, I'm going to go stay. I like emailed the school. I was like, can I come as like alumni for a month? And just like hang out. I want to be around the Atelier environment again. Because they always, when I was a student, there would always be people who graduated coming in. And, you know, since I was doing some freelance work, they thought it'd be good for me to like talk to some of the students to show them an example of someone living off of the skills they'd learned there. So I went out for a month and I basically, at the end of the month, I was like, please don't send me home. Like I have no more ties. I'm out of the relationship I was in. I'd been moving between Airbnbs since then. I was like, can I just stay? Like the village, like Simrishamn they were in was at the time, especially in 2015, it was like genuinely quite cheap to live there. So I was like, look, I'd love to help you instruct as an assistant if you'll have me. They said, yes, we figured that out. And that slowly escalated to where I was like one of the main teachers there.
With the new teaching schedule and the fair cost of living in the area, Miles was now able to have a lot more time on his hands to spend purely focused on the art that he wanted to make, instead of trying to hustle to do more freelance work or trying to make works for a studio that he obviously didn't care about.
But that was the period in my life after the studying, after school, after about a year and a half of freelancing, I was like 22 and they do this schedule with their teachers where you teach for like 1 or 2 weeks and then you get like 4 weeks off while the other teachers teach in their blocks so that everyone who's teaching there can be an active artist, which is more inspiring for the students. Even that level of part-time work was enough to like share an apartment with 3 friends, you know, like cheap rent, eat noodles. And I was just like, I am going to take a year out of my life now, and I'm just going to see what happens if I do nothing but my own work, like no distractions. Like I'd still never had a period of time where I'd taken like 2 months to just do my own work. No commissions, nothing.
When we make anything, we have doubts, you know, like how's it going to turn out or how will other people perceive it? Like this podcast, like I love what I'm doing and I enjoy it. And I think that's most important. But then you still have that fear of when I put this podcast out or I'll put this artwork out, how are others going to perceive it? It's very hard to escape that worry. And we all hope that feeling that way, we can one day put it behind us and grow older and realize just how little all that actually even matters. That in the end, people will get behind something you make if you put love into it and passion into it. As he continued to make these works, his works became very personal, focusing on his own voice, his emotions, which can be pretty vulnerable. How did it feel for you being vulnerable in your works and putting out these works that you cared a lot about?
Every now and then you make something and I always feel like if you are slightly afraid to post it, that's like a sign that like if you make something that says nothing about you, you don't care to show it to anyone, because if they don't like it, yeah, who cares? It's just like a dude with a sword, you know. But like I found that if I'd made something, yeah, that was really saying something, like I would like worry like about my parents seeing it or my friends from school or whatever, like that was usually a good sign that I put something in there that meant something to me, because I actually felt there were some stakes, you know, like, okay, if someone laughed at this one, it would actually kind of hurt my feelings. That's sort of a good sign.
Miles would even often get so lost in the actual process of making his works and all the minor details that he would forget what he was even doing until he had the finished work in front of him. And because of this, the works would end up being a lot more emotionally heavy than he originally realized.
Like in some ways, the technique and stuff is maybe a way of making it more comfortable, because like just trying to draw something realistically becomes this big technical puzzle. You get so lost in that that I can kind of forget what a drawing is even a picture of while I'm making it. And then it'll kind of, I'll suddenly look at it and I'll be like, wow, this is really heavy. Like, where did this come from? Like, I'm not feeling at every point throughout the process of making a picture, I'm not feeling what the picture's about. It normally peaks when I get the idea, and then as it's coming together at the end, there's normally a moment where I try to really feel exactly what I'm trying to say with a drawing and make sure like every little bit of it is supporting that feeling. But there's huge amounts where you're just like trying to figure out the geometry of some ripples or something, and I'm not sort of doing that through tears in my eyes.
A lot of Miles' artworks are drawings, and yet they're incredibly detailed and feel alive. I think that what makes me relate to them so much was my own inner struggles with anxiety, my complete lack of control over my stress levels, and my worry of how others might perceive my artwork. No matter who the subject is in his works, I feel some sort of connection. I think that feeds into what Miles told me about how he views art. I think that speaks to what Miles says about his view of art and how a lot of inspiration comes and a lot of messages come from very universal themes.
Okay, first of all, I just want to say, like, the people who are really good at fantasy art, they're good at it because they find a way to transcend the genre and to make it, to, you know, to bring this potency in. You know, that's like why Lord of the Rings is so much better than like, you know, half of the generic fantasy things out there. It's like, it become, like in the end, I feel like all artwork is just about very universal themes, because there's only so many things that make sense. You know, it's all ways of expressing different kinds of ways of relating to what it means to be an impermanent creature in a world, like the ways in which our lives get entangled, the nature of the world, and a kind of appreciation for the way reality is, or fear of it, or the energies that make artwork potent or emotionally resonant are not invented by artists. It's always some form of holding up a mirror. So to the extent that something in my work is intense, that's just my observation of reality. You know, I don't invent grief or loneliness or any of these things that like go into my work sometimes. It's really just trying to capture some of that and redeem it in a way. I think that's why I'm drawn to heavier themes, is I find that there's something about trying to take the stuff that you have trouble dealing with and turning it into something beautiful that you can use to relate to other people that feels like redemptive instead of just having to experience those things for nothing.
Even though we all want to make something important that inspires, we can't just sit down and decide, okay, this work, this painting is going to really pull people's heartstrings, because we don't know how that's going to turn out. And if you go into it with that mindset, it might come out a little cringy. I think Miles has a style of art that has helped him strike a good balance. His works can at times be very weird, strange, or out there for some people, but it is this surreal and dark aesthetic that makes people take his message seriously.
Processing my life, but I can't do it on purpose without it becoming kind of contrived. Like if you sit down and like it's time to pull the heartstrings, like you're in a manipulative headspace. That's the wrong space to get that right. So like it kind of has to just like come out of you. And I think a lot of that is just having, it does take a vulnerability, because you do, like when stuff fails to land, that's when you end up in the territory of cringe. And like, I know the stuff I'm like, different people are sensitive to that in different ways. Like if you make something that you think is moving, there's always going to be someone out there who just thinks it's a little bit like cringe, you know? But I think about Alex Honnold free soloing. You know, he's climbing, and if he falls, he dies. I'm drawing, and if I fail, it's a tiny bit embarrassing. Like, I'll be okay. But I guess if I'm like not trying to guard it in humor, I do have this side of me that is a little bit existentially freaked out permanently. I'm just a little bit, I just think it's so overwhelmingly weird that we exist. You know, those moments of just waking up and just, oh, this is still going on, and one day it won't be. Like, I really am gonna die. The people I love will die. Like, the, you know, the kind of Buddhist is old age, sickness, and death. And just, you have to, and life is so bizarre and strange. And it's sort of, I know this all sounds corny, but it's, yeah, I'm trying to find the right words. It's like, to me, it feels like there's this opportunity to exist, to have a mind, to be conscious, and the desire to make art. It's the desire to grab someone a little bit manically and be like, can you believe this shit? Like, we're fucking here. Like, this is real. This is really happening. And I feel like if I were a slightly more balanced person, I would probably just sit back and watch a sunset and be like, yeah, this is lit. There's nothing to do. I don't need to paint that. Like, look at it. It's amazing. And like, part of the desire to even make art, I think, is like embedded in that strangeness of being an animal that has woken up to itself, that is self-aware and is aware that it's going to die. And you're just like, surely there's some way to make meaning, to make something of this. You know, I feel like that is the artistic impulse to symbolically represent things.
As he was continuing to dial in on his style in between the teaching, he was sharing his works online, and luckily he had started taking Instagram pretty seriously at this time, which I consider to be the golden age of Instagram. It was around 2015, 2016. People started to really enjoy his new works, and the followers just started to roll in.
There's another bit of good fortune that I feel like Instagram was quite early. It still felt like you could grow organically on there, which, I mean, people still do nowadays, but I think it was easier. I just started posting my own work. You know, I'd do this teaching when I had to, but it was a really good setup, and I had no ties, no responsibilities. I was just like, I'm just gonna see what happens. And it kind of from that point onwards happened. It like became a viable job a lot quicker than I expected it would. But it was a classic story of like, I've been drawing for 10 years at that point, and then it became my job within like 3 years, but it was after laying the groundwork forever, really. I feel like in the modern world, if there's enough organic, if there's an audience that forms around your work, like gallerists want to go to that, suddenly you can sell prints, hopefully. And I kept leaning more and more into trying to make the stuff that really, I feel like that was the period of time where I took all of these skills that I had built over the years and actually tried to turn them to something interesting. For me,
he was now making a living off of his art, not just any art, not just doing freelances, but his fine art. It was what he'd always wanted to do, what he'd always wanted to make. He was finally doing it. But then he entered a new challenge. You have recently become a dad. So how is that, trying to balance your work and the stability of being a full-time artist while also learning to raise children? How does that feel for you?
It feels good. I mean, ultimately, it's exciting to me. Like, I feel like I have something. I feel like my experience of, like, there's a lot of lessons I've learned beyond just making art, but just about following something that I was passionate about, that I feel, I hope one day, like, I don't want to be that parent who's like telling them that they, you need to have a thing like I had a thing. I don't want to come at them with that energy, but if they do show interest in something, or they do that is maybe outside of a normal educational path, or it's just anything they want to get good at, I hope that I have something I can say to them, and how to be encouraging and how to support them in that, having had people do that for me. And more than that, I just feel like my partner, she's very creative too. She's a good artist. She likes making stuff. And I love that in the house, we're going to have that kind of family energy and love for creating stuff that I want them to grow up in.
In the beginning, Miles needed learning to draw to keep his idea of the future stable. Well, having kids can be one of the most hectic and unstable times, but Miles always knew he wanted to be a dad.
I don't know. I think I always did want to be a dad. I always knew that. It just was very hard to know. I had no idea how you would know the time was right. And then just one time when we were talking about it, it didn't seem insane, like in the way that it does when you're like younger. Like, there's a certain age where the idea of having a kid is like, when you're 17, it's like one of life's game over screens. Like, I don't mean, like, it can feel that way. And with everything I wanted to do and how much I was thinking about art, it was just like, I can't even humor this right now. And then just, I guess, like, suddenly it had been a few years and making a living from art. And I was like, okay, like, maybe we could. And like, oh my God, like, wasn't I just like the young artist kid? Like, I'm nearly 30 and it's such a trip how quickly, I mean, it's like not quick, but like anything once it's passed, that's it, you know? And I just felt like, yeah, maybe I do want to do this before I'm just getting more tired. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to get more tired. It's going to take, let's get the hardest years out the way while we're sort of young.
Well, that decision to have a kid became an even bigger responsibility than he ever expected.
Yeah. And then and then when we found out it was twins, I like literally a switch went in my head where I was just like, I literally can't afford to not be up to this. Like, it was this real feel, like, you know, when like something is not quite hard enough, you have room to doubt yourself. But like, it was just suddenly like, whether it was like making a living, or it was just, as the kids would say, it was just time to lock in. Like, I could just feel it. I was like, we're not going to have time to have me. I can't have my ego and worrying if I can do it filling up the room at every second. Like, we're going to, like, this is like real life responsibilities coming at me. I just got to figure it out, you know? And in some ways, my anxiety has improved. Like, in the last year, I like became a parent, and well, last years. And then last year, I found out I have like a chronic kidney illness, which is like not affecting me symptomatically in any way, but it puts this like, there's very non-zero odds I'll like go into kidney failure in the next 20 years. But like, it's too soon to see what the timeline is with my, I'm on all these like medications that didn't even exist 10 years ago that seem to be working well. But it's just this massive uncertainty.
But when times get hard and you start to feel overwhelmed, you have to face it head on if you're going to make it.
It reached a point where I just suddenly went like, no one fucking knows what's going to happen. I have to focus on what I can do every day as best as I can. Like, if I start worrying about money and income, if maybe I used to like get anxious and try to avoid it, like now I kind of feel like I'm responsible for them. Like, I got to do something today that moves towards solving that problem. It has definitely felt like a growing up process. I guess the biggest thing is I've had to learn to deal with anxiety with action as best I can. Started therapy, started running, like all the typical 30 something things you do, you know. But yeah, like it all gets to me sometimes, but then I have these moments. It's been a very, like, you're calling me at a time when I'm feeling like we were off for the summer break and I've just been back in the studio for a few weeks, and I feel like I've been successfully reprioritizing my attention to do the stuff that matters, and I can feel it starting to build up that momentum again where I'm like, I'm making work I like. Yeah, I feel like you gotta just lock in, bro. I don't know what to say.
While life is in some ways random and things can happen that we're not prepared for, What really moves us forward is the actions we take every day trying to get closer to our dreams. That simple act of him trying to improve on drawing pushed him down that path he's now on today and led him to inspiring literally over a million people with his art. While much of his journey was all because of the hard work he was putting in, we have to acknowledge the incredible support he had from his parents, from the other artists cheering him on the art forums, and his family and children who are the inspiration and motivation these days to keep pushing and doing even more of what he's really great at. Was this episode one of my best? I have no clue, actually. What I do know is through the process of making it, I learned something new that will help me make the next one better than this one, and the one after that, and the one after that. It's all about improving, and I want this show to be what you come to for inspiration, this show that hypes you up to get back into the studio and make that new work and push forward. I hope I achieve that. As the episode has come to an end, I just want to remind everyone that Miles will be releasing his art book at the end of October. You can check it out on Kickstarter around that time. If you want to stay up to date, follow him on social medias. Sign up for his emailing list on his website, milesjohnstonart.com. It's going to be an incredible art book with over 250 pages. I know I'm going to be getting one. It sounds amazing. So yeah, go check it out on there. Kickstarter is definitely the way you want to support it, he said. It helps him and the people making it a lot more than when you buy it on, say, something like Amazon or anything like that. So go ahead, check that out, end of October 2024. Thank you for listening. Obviously, if you've gotten this far, you really enjoyed it. I appreciate you. I appreciate all of you who listen. If you enjoy the show, please help me grow. I do this so many hours. It takes a lot of work. So if you can share it with anyone you know who might listen to it, please do so. So that way we continue to grow. We can get some sure enough advertisers, get some more people on the Patreon. If you want to support the show, you can do two simple, besides sharing it, you can do two simple things. You can sign up for Patreon for like $3 a month and show your support that way. And you can head on over to MyArtIsRoyal.com and you can purchase limited edition art prints. So that way you're supporting an artist, you're supporting me, and you're getting a cool limited edition art print in the process. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you in the next episode.